So you want me to start the show? Kyle's just going to hang back, or what's the scoop?
Yeah, Tim, if you can, that'd be great if you kind of run this meeting, as I'm not sure how long I'll be able to stay. Hopefully I'll be able to stay for the whole thing, but being as I'm here at work, I'm not sure what's going to come about. So that'd be good.
So if we hear a bunch of bells going, we know you're leaving, huh?
Yep.
Okay, so roll call. Amber, can you help me with the roll call as you can see everybody and just name off who's here? And we do have a quorum, you say?
Yes, we have you, Tim Kraft, Derek Santa, Mike Mulligan, Ruben Greer, Kyle Potter. Jason and Alan are both out. I have not heard from Simone, Joe, or Kim.
Simone has missed a few meetings now, huh?
The last one was a matter of safety, but yes.
Oh, okay. So she's been excused for some. All right. Can anybody, we got to review the meeting minutes, and if anybody can do a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the last meeting, or any comments or questions?
Will we accept the minutes from our last meeting on the 4th of August?
I actually have one quick question about the meeting minutes. There's a comment under number 2 updates that says Tidewater is considering an autoclave on the waterfront. What's an autoclave?
Basically, an incinerator.
Ah, okay. All right. So someone started a motion. Is anybody going to second it?
I'll second it.
I can't hear so well, but I assume somebody said yes. All right. All in favor of approving the minutes from the last meeting? Say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Anybody opposed? No. Meeting minutes approved. Next one is stormwater decant facility, which I think is what this special meeting is all about. So now I get to pass the baton to Melissa.
Hello, my name is Melissa Sutton, Clark County Public Health and the Mental Health Specialist. Thank you all for coming today to hear the proposal for City of Battleground's decant facility. Amber will start this like show presentation today. And just for your knowledge, I did pack a lot of information in the slide. Some of them are really texty and wordy, only for content. Amber can share the slideshow separately, but I just wanted to have for context the information there. But I don't plan to read my entire slideshow to you. I would like it to be more conversational. I've given SWAC updates throughout the process and really shared the whole process as it's going and transpired and been very transparent. So my hope is to not be redundant today, to share enough information that it has you to feel comfortable with the process and to formalize and finalize the permitting process for this review. I can't see all the sites that I'm not up there. So City of Battleground owns and operates the wastewater treatment plant. 1308 Southeast Grace Avenue in Battleground, and the proposed stormwater decant facility will operate within the same property boundary. So they're going to be co-located. The good thing about that, like I mentioned at the last meeting, because they're co-located, the wastewater treatment plant has been there for several years. All the neighbors are used to the sights and smells and trucks and traffic that goes along with those things, and the decant facility is a minute fraction of the odors and truckloads and those sorts of things. So that's kind of a great thing about this location. City of Battleground is seeking permitting approval to process, treat, and dispose of stormwater materials in accordance with Washington Administrative Code 173.350, which is the solid waste handling code. For those of you who aren't aware, vector tracks are used for collection of stormwater from drainage systems around. So whether it be roadside ditches or swales, stormwater collection systems, those trucks collect all of that material. It will then come to the decant facility. They dewater the trucks, so it's a sludgy slurry that they collect. They drain off a lot of the water, and then the sludgy slurry is allowed to dry in another containment bin. So these are just some general definitions. Again, this is where I'm not going to bore you reading them all, but just to tie you into this process. So contaminated soils is in the definition of solid waste, waste material and waste per Washington Administrative Code 350. So it does definitely fall within my jurisdiction and the jurisdiction of public health in this permitting process. Contaminated soils means soil containing one or more contaminants from a release when moved from one location to another for placement on or into the ground. And then I highlighted section A, which is contains contaminants at concentrations that exceed cleanup level under chapter 173.340 of the WAC, which is the Model Toxic Control Act. So when Ecology updated the regulations in 2018, they put a lot of efforts into defining contaminated soils. And part of that determination was that the testing has to then meet MACA level standards. So that's applicable because some of the tables within and parameters within the operations plan then have to tie back to the MACA standards. So I just wanted to kind of tie that together. Used to be, you know, maybe we would look to the dangerous waste regulations or look to other regulations or the Western Washington stormwater guidance documents. But when this definition was updated, it really did hone it down to be cleanup levels, which doesn't really make sense if you're a consultant or in the outside world always. So just tie that back in. And then examples within the definition, examples of potentially contaminated soil may include but are not limited to street waste, which is what we're talking about today. So that's why that definition is there. It's all included and tied together. Street waste means solid or dewatered materials collected from stormwater, catch basin and similar stormwater treatment and conveyance structures, and materials collected around street and parking lot sweeping. So again, that's the material that we're talking about. And the true definition of transfer station means a facility that receives solid waste, which includes contaminated soil. So this is technically a where it's from off-site and then they reroute it to other locations for final disposal. So the true definition of this facility is a transfer station. From a permitting perspective, we permit it as an interim, kind of an interim waste. It's not quite our regular transfer station kind of property. You know, we're not dealing with municipal solid waste and all of the various components we typically think of as a transfer station. But when it comes to the regulations that this facility has to meet, it also has to be in compliance with the transfer station regulations. So the facility will operate in accordance with WAC 173-353-10, which is our transfer station and drop box facility. And then because they have piles used for storage or treatment, they also will comply with WAC 173-353-20. So their permit that is issued will make sure that they're in compliance with both of those sections of the chapter. This is just a general vicinity map for those of you who want to know exactly where this is located but maybe don't know where it is. It's right in the heart of downtown Battleground, just west of Southeast Grace. So it's properties that's owned by City of Battleground's Public Works Department, The property immediately adjacent on the east is their main headquarter building where they have a lot of staffing. The property with the star on it is where a lot of their wastewater treatment plant operations are. It looks like a vacant lot from here, but I assure you that it is not. In September 2021, and as I mentioned in previous SWAC meetings, City of Battlegrounds staff, which is Chad Schwatka, who's here today, contacted me that they received a grant to update their existing decamp facility to double the capacity, to which I said, what decamp facility are you talking about? Because I don't know of one there that's permitted. So we met out there with ecology staff, public health staff, City of Battleground staff, decided that they do need a solid waste permit, and here we are today, almost a year to the day later. His first phone call was actually August 31st, so we're one day over. So this solid waste permit application is requested by City of Battleground to really continue the current stormwater decanting facilities and expand the footprint of the facility, really double in size. So this is the design drawing for the existing facility footprint. In working with City of Battleground, we really went back and forth whether to have them apply for this, just get this part into compliance, and then later separately do the modification as a whole separate process to get one permitted and then the other. The timing, they have this grant, they have this money, they have this time to get everything done. We're at the end of the dry season, so they are pushing forward to get all of this done by the end of the year. So we are doing a concurrent review process. The City of Battleground does know they are proceeding at their own risk. It's not guaranteed that they will get to do everything as they have proposed, but they're starting to move forward with construction of the modification, doing dig out and such, just because of the weather that we're anticipating in another month. So just to give you a heads up on that. So this is the existing decamp facility footprint, kind of zoomed in a little bit more. The first one was a little bit hard to see. Each bay, the total footprint of the existing facility is around 1,400 square feet, so it's pretty small. They don't have a lot of space to move around, and they just have one bay to really dewater and one bay to store their solids. So their plan is, so this is the existing, this is what was seen last September when I was there, so you can kind of get a visual for what's there. The facility operational hours, will be 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. The access to the decamp facility is reached, again, via that public works site from 1308 Southeast Grace, right off of Grace Avenue. And for the operations plan, personnel from the City of Battleground will be the only ones utilizing that facility at this time. And they are hoping by the end of the year to be done with the modification if all goes through and we're able to permit them. So this is the proposed modification footprint. So you can see in the middle, I've tried to highlight and hope you can see, in the green will be the new addition that will be added to the exterior. So they're adding square footage on both sides of the facility. In the kind of lime green or yellow. Below, that's a paved area that's not under cover, but just to ensure that there's no truck out to make sure that that's paved and everything's graded properly. And then in addition, in the center, I've circled two fans in the middle, and they're planning to add those two fans to the center to increase airflow. And if there are odor concerns or stagnant air, types of stagnant air, that they're able to circulate the air to improve, make improvements. So those are kind of a quick summary of the improvements to the project. Derek Rocket from the Department of Ecology came down last week. He and I were able to meet with the Battleground folks. We were surprised, I think, to see that they have begun the dugout, the dugout process. And that again, because of the time constraints of summer and, you know, definitely understand the limitations that we have with the soils here, their need to do the dig out work. But again, they have been advised that this process has not been finalized and that the approval has not been issued and that they are proceeding at their own risk. So there may be changes that have to be made or implemented or recommendations from SWAC. That they would then have to retroactively make happen. So, go ahead. Record keeping, the facility will perform weekly inspections and they'll complete weekly inspection reports. They will track their inbound and outbound volumes and they will report those on or before April 1st of each calendar for regulation. Multi-agency review, as I summarized in the email, so sorry to be redundant. We did have a multi-agency review process, which ran from July 8th through July 22nd. During that process, we did receive comments from Southwest Clean Air Agency. Per Southwest Clean Air Agency, the operations shall comply with the general odor requirements per SWCAA 400-040 number 4, that will be included into their permit if the permit is issued. City of Battleground Community Development, when we did the exemption process last fall, we received a comment from City of Battleground saying that their proposed expansion, that they would be required a preliminary site plan and meet all of the requirements before they do the expansion. On Tuesday this week, I had email confirmation back from City of Battleground confirming that they've applied for all their land use approvals and they have approvals from the City of Battleground to proceed with the expansion. And finally, Park Regional Wastewater District provided comments on last Friday, the 26th of August. Public Health requested additional clarification, but as of today, we haven't received any follow-up. I will go more in detail in another slide about what that entails, but I did forward that communication to SAC to review prior to this meeting. So this is the actual review of the operation plan, which is a fun part that Derek and I get to do. We actually reviewed this plan a couple times before and did some tweaks, and Chad was very them to work with and got back comments as we put them to him. A lot of the comments from ecology really had to do with kind of typographical errors or nomenclature or changing titles of tables that they would all match. So I provided a summary here. I won't go into detail, but he provided those comments on the 7th of July. And City of Battleground has incorporated those into a revision that Ecology has approved. Table 8.3 in the operations plan that was submitted, we are working with Ecology to obtain clarification on that table, and Public Health and City of Battleground are waiting for final determination from Ecology, just to make sure that all of the analytes that are there and what they're checking for means what we're really looking for. So that's the only kind of limbo thing at this point. Then from Public Health, comments that I have provided, I guess just grammatical things and applying Ecology's comments, but then also adding the Clark County Code 2412. There's a section, in section 2, it talks about an expired lease discharge permit. And they're working under an administrative extension issued by Ecology. So from Public Health, our recommendation is for the City of Battleground and Clark Regional Wastewater District, because they're a partnership, to continue to work with Ecology and then provide Public Health a copy once it's available. While it is expired, again, they are working under administrative extension. And so they are in compliance although it is technically expired, if that makes sense. So I just want to be very clear with Slack in case you read that section and thought, how can they do this? So make sure that that's highlighted. And leaching testing. Public health recommends that City of Battleground modify the plan to incorporate leaching testing prior to discharge. Clark Regional Wastewater District was included on the multi-agency review comment period, but didn't provide comment during that formal process. I did send call and I sent emails. Kristen, can you please send me, like, are you okay if they don't test the CJ? Can you really make sure and give me something in writing? What she sent back, it sounded a little wobbly and I wasn't comfortable with how it was worded in her email to say, yes, Clark Regional supports not testing this. So I've had offline conversations with City of Battleground with Chad to rework that section to include testing of the leachate. So that is a recommendation from public health is that they do test that leachate prior to it going to public sanitary sewer. Yeah.
Question right in that area. Uh-huh. One of the things that struck me about this is that it's Battleground that's doing this, and I was not able to see like where Vector trucks that service, we'll say, City of Vancouver, where they go and go through the same process and decant and whatnot. My question is, in those facilities that are already in existence, supposedly in compliance, do they test the leachate? Is there an analysis of the leachate in those facilities and criteria for the quality, if you will, before it goes into the, if I understand that right, that's the waste then goes directly into the general sewer system?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So two parts to that question. So in the City of Battleground is a bit, so the other facilities that we have that decant material would be Wadley Pit decant facility. They accept material from Clark County, from WASHDA, from City of Vancouver, from Battleground currently, from Ridgefield, and theirs goes to it goes through an oil water separator, goes into lined ponds, and then if there is an overflow valve, goes to sanitary sewer. Their agreement with sanitary sewer is that it does not need to be tested prior to going. That facility was established back in 1999, before a lot of these regulations were changed and tightened up and all of this. So that facility is a little bit different in that it's really grandfathered from a lot of those things. The City of Washougal also has a decant facility, which is actually very similar to what City of Battleground is proposing. In fact, City of Battleground visited their site and really utilized their operations plan to move forward in this. City of Washougal, they have their own wastewater treatment plant co-located with their decant facility as well, and they manage and maintain their own. So their system is tied in, so they have an agreement with their own city that material meets their standards that they need. City of Battleground, they have their own wastewater treatment system, but their wastewater then goes to Clark Regional Wastewater District. So it goes through the concrete treatment plant from Battleground. So for their material to go to Clark Regional Wastewater District's plant, I wanted to make sure that Clark Regional Wastewater District was okay with them not testing upstream before it comes downstream. Once it comes downstream, Clark Regional Wastewater District is in charge of testing that material and making sure it's in compliance with their pollution discharge permit. So because the email from, I'm sorry if this is very convoluted.
No.
Okay.
I appreciate you taking the time to explain.
Because it's coming from upstream and the email I got back from Kristen was not clear that they said that they don't test on behalf of City of Battleground, basically, that they have their own wastewater treatment plant. Because that's going downstream and is diluted downstream, I didn't want it to be a pollution source upstream that then caused a problem downstream. So that's why my recommendation from public health is for City of Battle Ground to test that before it goes to nurse. So theirs is a little bit different and unique than other wastewater treatment plants because of where it goes and the agreement they have.
And Battle Ground's ability to respond to your request for testing prior to it going downstream is close to?
So I talked to Chad, and Chad, you could speak to them.
Yeah, we just started talking about it a couple days ago. From the battleground's point of view, we have no problems. We have access to conduct those tests. But what we were trying to come to a conclusion on was, what's the overall benefit? Is it a wasted cost that you're doing up here when Park Regional's, you know, testing their waste before the outfall anyhow? If they're already treating it, what's the overall benefit? So, and we're almost at the same stage waste permit as Clark Regional. So that kind of ties us in. I don't think Kristen just, she probably didn't want to put anything in writing or anything, which is understandable. And we don't necessarily have any issue with testing other than the cost and the, we would have to figure something out if you can get high levels of something, primarily metals, but yeah.
For our purposes of reviewing it, then this, there would be nothing unique that coming out of battleground waste that isn't already coming in from other sources that are being cleaned the same way into that facility. So asking you to test for something that already is coming in because it's generic to cleaning streets through this system.
Should Clark Regional provide something that says that they support not testing that or that they are fine with the material going through the system, I'm happy to then not require it in the plan. But until I have confirmation from them, I can't say, yes, put potentially contaminated leachate into the public sewer system with confidence from them. So that's kind of where, again, I have included Park Regional in that initial multi-agency back in July. I called them early August, the contact that I have there, but didn't get a comment back until August 26th, which is really so close to this meeting to make anything substantial happen effectively. And I think it's important for all of our solid waste handling facilities, these operation plans, it's approved today and never changes and never moves forward. It's a living, breathing document. We work it, we work what's amicable and what works out. And really technical health in the environment. So I just want to be very transparent in the conversations that I'm having with other agencies or lack thereof and why those decisions to require leachate testing at this time. Maybe they test, you know, maybe there's an agreement with Clark Regional and they want them to test for 6 months or a year or one time and see what it looks like. I'm okay with that too, and to not require them forever and ever infinitum to test that material. But at least see what we're getting.
It'll be interesting to see what they come back with. I think that leachate water, by the time it gets to the Salmon Creek treatment plant, is going to be pretty diluted. It's not a lot of flow at all.
Yeah. I would like to see what the leachate looks like coming off of the system rather than the dilution through the entire system of City of
Camas has one also that does the same thing.
Camas does not have a decant facility unless you know of one that I don't. City of Washougal does.
Doesn't Camas have one in their yard, in their public works yard?
No, they take theirs also to Watley. Unless you're saying I should perhaps do an inspection.
I would ask, yeah.
Okay. Duly noted. Okay. It was my understanding it was going to Lockley, by the way. For the record. Yes, sir.
Would it be better to ask questions at the end of your presentation, or do you want to? Because I have some regarding.
Perhaps at the end, if that would be okay, just so we can move through. And then some minor changes on the appendix were my recommendation to separate consultants versus laboratories on one, table A, and then on appendix C, just to change some verbiage so it was a little bit more user-friendly. So ecology staff recommendation from Derek Rackett, who's the facility specialist. He wrote, after working with Melissa Sutton, her county environmental health specialist, and Chad Schwatka, City of Battleground Stormwater Program Coordinator, I am very comfortable with Battleground DeCamp facility plan of operation, management, and expansion of the facility. Please contact me with any questions or comments. And then CCPH staff recommendation, which is me. After a review of the City of Battleground Stormwater DeCamp facility operation plan and engineering drawings, CCPH supports recommendation to issue a solid waste handling permit to the City of Battleground for their proposed facility expansion to operate in accordance with Law 173350. CCPH and ecology staff will ensure the operations plan is updated to incorporate the review recommendations discussed earlier. The next step, per Law 173350.710, when the jurisdictional health department has evaluated all pertinent information, it may issue or deny a permit. Every solid waste application shall be approved or disapproved within 90 days after its receipt. The document was deemed complete on July 8th, so we have to issue the permit or deny the permit formally on or before October 7th. So CCPH is requesting staff members make a formal motion to approve or disapprove Park County Public Health staff moving forward with issuance of the City of Battleground Stormwater DeCamp Facility application for solid waste handling permit. Do you want to leave up the last one that way to make a motion? So that's the end of my presentation. If you have questions, I think now would be a good time to ask questions before making a motion. That's the next big step. So once all the questions have been answered from SWAC, if someone could make a motion to either formally approve or disapprove public health moving forward with issuance of the permit. Ruben, you have some questions, so I'll let you start.
Yeah, I was just going back to the to the leachate question. Typically, when the leachate is discharged to the system, I mean, is it just kind of a constant flow, or is it stored and then evacuated in bulk?
I think it's more or less a one-time discharge during the back truck unloading or dumping, at least the initial push. There will be product coming off the pile that when it's left to sit for drying, but not in quantities during that.
Okay, so it doesn't all go to a holding tank, and once it gets to a certain level, then it's all discharged. It's once it's evacuated by the vector.
I see what you're saying.
Just goes.
It does sit for some time. Okay. It goes out of the bay into a vault. Depending on what level that is, it'll carry on down into the system, but a small amount will sit, primarily in that vault, but outside of the bay, so the stuff in the bay is allowed to dry, but it will be processed in that vault until it's either cleaned or another load comes and then flushes it down.
And also for reference, the City of Battleground is really only planning to have one truck per day utilize the facility. I mean, that's their capacity or their plan for the current time. In 5 years or 10 years, it might be 3 or 4 trucks a day, but the volume is really not that onerous or that voluminous.
Yeah, something to think about in terms of the operations. We also have a street sweeper, so I'd probably say 60-70% of our waste is street sweepings. And then the 30-40% is probably back to get basically out. So a lot of the time, especially during these months, all of our products dry from the get-go for the most part. So
it's one truck per day, one vector truck per day plus sweepings?
No, it's probably just one vehicle of some type. Our maintenance crew is only two people, so we can only do one thing at a time, essentially. So we do, we have been running our street sweep a lot more, with our growth. The state's pushed us a little bit more to do more sweepings. And we, our back trucks, unless an emergency happens, where we need to use it, not all that often. We do have a catch basin cleaning routine. But we're pretty far ahead in terms of actual clean out, so we're not using it as much. And generally use it in the spring or in the fall. Summer is usually dedicated street sweeping and some different detention on type vegetation maintenance stuff. So
yeah, that's if bear with me, thank you. Okay, so you have one truck, and so if I was going to use a base for comparison. If I'll say, just I'll use the number that the battleground has 500 miles of road. If it's 500 miles of road, it's got one truck. Vancouver has 2,500 miles of road and doesn't have five trucks. I mean, is there a direct correlation to the how often the vector trucks go to the mileage of roads you have responsibility for?
I think we have about 80 linear miles, I guess, of road. We pretty much run our sweeper, I don't know, 6 hours a day for four days a week, in comparison. So Vancouver, I would assume would have a fair amount of vehicles. We accumulate, I'd probably say maybe a dump truck load every week, of sediment, if that helps. Is that what you're asking?
Kind of. It's just part of what the size of the facility we're talking about that is both this leachate. Going in, I think that's kind of where my concern is as far as how much our community is already based on miles of road is using as a reference point. Maybe there's a better reference point. And that's where trying to understand the challenges of what you're addressing with this whole service.
Yeah.
And what the potential threat is, not threat, but, unintended consequences to the community. By either not having a fully adequate, for lack of a better word, sifting facilities. Mm-hmm. And so that's all I'm trying to kind of get a good sense. But actually, your comment in that last slide where you assessed it, on everything that I read, that I kind of looked at your assessment as the most critical statement about this whole idea and moving forward. If that's unfair, let me know, because I defer to your expertise.
I also defer to my expertise. I mean, that's really what I'm here for, is to really be the lens of public health and really to delve in and know the code and the WAC and our Clark County code and make sure that the solid waste plan protects public health and the environment. That is my job. And so to be fully transparent and to share every conversation and communication and email, that is my job. And that's why I am very clear about Clark Regional Wastewater. Is it perhaps too stringent to require them to test the leachate? Perhaps. But I feel that it's my responsibility to tell you and my professionals scientific knowledge that I believe that it's more prudent to test it at the beginning of the stream than when it's diluted, 12 miles downstream.
Just had a quick question. I know, first of all, I apologize about being late. Yes, everyone, my apologies. Within my industry, one of the things we fight is, let's just say, people's fear that stems from lack of knowledge. And I can tell you 100 stories about people that are scared to death of things that they know nothing about, so they're just scared to death of them. When we talk about these leachates, primarily we're talking heavy metals, so I'm guessing it's kind of the thing.
Hydrocarbons.
If you don't mind me just asking kind of an open-ended question here, when was the last time that we had situations of facilities similar to this that have extremely high is it something that's extremely common, or is it something that's, you know, that is so, you know, so rare that, I'm not saying it's so rare we should test, obviously that's not what I'm getting at, but super common, super rare. I guess that's what I really want to ask about. Yeah.
So I can tell you my heightened awareness and heightened sensitivity. We have an as presented in SWAG. We've had issues with Watley Pit Decamp Facility in the lower yard where materials have been piled, stockpiled, dumped.
Mm-hmm.
Where we did test that material and it did test hot. Yeah. Enough that ecology has required them to involve a herd cleanup program.
Okay.
So to say that I think this material is clean, no.
Okay.
5 years ago, it was kind of presumed that this material, I mean, as recently as 5 years ago, that this material was generally clean. It comes from stormwater systems.
Yeah.
It's rainwater.
Right.
It comes off the road. It's playing puddles. Don't die every day.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really, I mean, to think about it in those terms. And really a benign wastewater. When Watley Pit came to light in 2016, 2017, 2019, and we started really getting samples and collecting samples from their stormwater system, both at the start of the stormwater system and the end of the stormwater system where everything should be gone and wasn't, that's where it triggered to me that this stuff isn't as clean as we think. We think, oh, it's just moving rocks from this one stormwater system, moving the rocks to another stormwater system. But then when you think about the lead, the zinc, the hydrocarbons, the oil, the antifreeze, everything that comes off of a car ending up in those ditches that then gets concentrated, then that is what health can do. So we do need to look at that. So really, I think my recent involvement with Watley Pit and the materials that they process there, which are street sweepings and decant, the decant material generally has higher concentrations of the things we're concerned about. The street sweeping, when tested from Watley's test, I can tell you the street sweepings tend to be more benign, still have contaminants. They used to commingle those piles, but after they tested, they were like, oh, our decant stuff is really contaminating our street sweeping more. So let's not commingle those any longer. Let's really keep those separate waste streams. And so really my experience with Watley has really taught me to be more diligent with this material than we once perhaps were. I hope that answers your question.
That was.
Anyone else have questions?
Yeah, I was so... Getting back to the one truck per day, this expansion is because your existing facility can't handle one truck per day, or because you have a grant and you're anticipating more than one truck per day in the future, or what's the purpose of the expansion now?
Yeah, exactly. We're growing fast, so we're trying to plan for the future. Not only that, we're getting different requirements from the state where we do have to sweep more. We're anticipating line cleaning requirements. Not only requirements, we want to get into actually the operations of line cleaning. So we just anticipate needing an expansion. And we're changing our operations a little bit. We're going to end up stockpiling for disposal a couple times a year versus now we generally are hauling out to Watley just to create room for the next week. Just to kind of keep a cleaner operation is kind of what we're doing now. So that's the reason for the expansion.
Okay.
So, I remember when the state and local governments were sorting out strategies for stormwater cleanup, and I remember reading some really interesting numbers, which have long since escaped me, about how much good could be done through aggressive street sweeping programs. And I think that, you know, we don't have occasion to look at those kinds of numbers with the SWAC very often, I'm hoping that maybe one of you can provide some context, because I think it's really important to recognize how important street sweeping is as a strategy for cleaning up stormwater. Either one of you have any?
I can. We have seen, just in the last 5 years, we initially aggressively took on a catch basin inspection program where we cleaned, or we either cleaned or inspected catch basins, all the catch basins in town within 2 years. So we were able to get into a position where we could focus on street sweeping at that point. So essentially you're catching the sediment in the street versus filling up yourself in your catch basins, which have probably been full for decades, you know, at least at IE of outlet pipes. And from there, it goes into our detention ponds and our swell, fills up those with sediment. And then during your high rain events, you probably do have some, you know, sediment push out into the creeks and streams and stuff. So, we have definitely seen a lot more benefit, in our operations over the last 3 to 5 years in our, you know, increasing and sweeping and then just from the initial get out of clean out those catch basins too. So, and now we're on to the next phase where we want to get into some of our storm facilities and do more aggressive cleanups there, which eventually evolve into line cleaning, which a lot of these storm laterals and mains haven't been cleaned is never a problem. So, it's kind of a snowball effect.
I got another question for you. So I know that Ecology is recommending approval and they've reviewed your operational plans. They've looked at your engineering plans. But going back to the engineering plans, will those be reviewed and signed off by Ecology that they meet Ecology's stormwater manual or DCANT facility requirements or just through the city, or what's that process? For me, I guess the bottom line question is if everything is being done and designed to Ecology standards, then you know, that's what we want to see.
So Clark County Public Health is the permitting agency. I do work with Ecology as technical support, and their recommendation goes a long way with me, just like my recommendation and Ecology's recommendation hopefully help you to formulate a decision and determination moving forward. It is public health who has to review and meet those, but the designs are designed by a solid waste engineer who sees them and approves them. I am not an engineer, so they really design what is submitted, and we review it to ensure that it's that the system is designed in compliance with WAC 173-350, where it has an impervious surface, it has a roof cover, it prevents rodent attraction, it's designed to prevent odors, those sorts of things. So I just have, from a solid waste permitting perspective, I make sure that the operations plan in conjunction with the design engineered design drawing meets the check marks of what's required for a facility. But as far as the actual design of the system, that's up to the facility as far as how wide the bays are and how long the trenches are and how deep the grates are. That's all the determination of the solid waste engineer who designs them. And to that extent, I can recommend to City of Battleground, for instance, the interior wall is only 3 feet tall. So I would recommend that maybe they consider talking with their engineer to increase that wall height to, I don't know, 6 feet, 8 feet, so that they can really utilize that as a bang wall. They can stack up higher, maybe instead of only 80 cubic yards because it's only 3 feet tall, maybe they could make it so it's 5 feet tall or 6 feet tall. So it's really a more usable footprint. But from public health and my actual permit authority, I cannot mandate them to make it a 12-foot wall or a 5-foot wall or a 1-foot. Does that make
sense? Yeah. No, so I think the question really was more to the City of Battleground. You know, just for full disclosure, in my previous life, I was a civil engineer. I've done a lot of stormwater work. My question to the City about, you know, if SWAC is going to recommend to you, Melissa, that you approve a permit, the question that I have is, all right, who's checking the engineering design of the decant facility? Because it has to meet certain standards by the Department of Ecology. And so if the plans prepared by the battleground's engineer have been routed through the appropriate parties for approval, that makes me feel better about the fact that the decant facility has been designed and is going to be built correctly to operate as efficiently as it's supposed to.
Yeah, as part of our expansion project and our grant, we do have to meet Ecology's, I guess, more or less water quality requirements for them to, you know, reimburse us some of the funds for construction. So an Ecology stormwater engineer has seen the plans, has submitted comments, and we're moving forward, essentially. He's more or less stamped in by approving to reimburse us, I guess. So
they've reviewed it and blessed it.
Yes, yeah. Sure. And it's fun for design as well.
And you've started working already at your own risk, but the city of Battleground has not approved your land use approvals yet?
They have issued land use approvals.
Oh, they have. Oh, I thought I saw something from Emily that was dated just a day or two ago that says they've applied for a permit. I thought that was on the slide.
And they've been issued. It says they have applied for land use approvals and proper approvals through us. Thank you for checking. Hope you have a great day. So they've applied for what they need. She said they met their requirements for land use. A conditional use permit is not required for this activity per City of Battleground.
Nobody else has any questions for Melissa or the city?
I've got one question, Tim, from Kyle here. Melissa, with the fact that this facility has been operating for 10 years without a permit, and we've had the problems with contamination at Whatley Pit as well, what kind of outreach or education could public health possibly, this is more, I guess, from our process, take on to ensure that we don't have, you know, public works, you know, operating facilities that we either don't know about without permits or not operate them in a proper manner, I guess.
It's been a discussion, I know, at Quad, we call them Quad County meetings, but Quad County used to be Snohomish, Thurston, King, Tacoma Pierce. But it has been expanded to mostly Western Washington. It is something that we've talked about at our meetings, but there really is no way, like, no uniform measurement at this point. Maybe Georgia's program could apply for a grant to, you know, notify public works departments within Clark County and assess where their material goes. As I stated, so Whatley Pitt's decamp facility includes City of Battleground as going to their facility for disposal. I have physically seen City of Battleground trucks disposing of material at Whatley because their plan currently, they dewater at Battleground, but then they take trucks and the material actually goes to Whatley for further disposal. So based on my observations at Whatley, I would have said City of Battleground, I've seen their trucks there. They are listed in the operations plan. Their material goes there. It wasn't until we were notified that it was there that we even knew that it was there. So, unless we do physical inspections of every street sweeper and private and public and try to track them down of where that material goes, I don't know. And from a solid waste enforcement program, party of one, my bandwidth is already about here. And I don't know that that's a project that we are going to take on, but I think there is value to that. Answer.
Yeah, that answered my question. Yeah, I understand that we don't have, with one person as enforcement, I guess. Is it like something where we can be reaching out to, you know, the public works staff at these smaller cities and saying, simply asking the question, hey, do you have a decamp facility that we don't know? Like, because it sounds like maybe Camas might have one too? ? So I guess just in terms of like educating public works staff on, you know, proper disposal and that sort of thing, I guess. I'm trying to think of ways where we could improve on that.
I think it's actually a statewide issue. I think it's actually a problem that's bigger than Clark County. I know when we were going through the Whatley Pit scenario of what are you doing? Why is this material getting placed here? And it's like, oh, well, that's how everyone does it. Oh, shoot. Like, is this problem bigger? I see that Laura is on the line from Ecology. She's my grant coordinator. So maybe she's a good one to hear that this might be a bigger issue in the state, and maybe to bring that to as an idea for moving forward with some grant work to help identify these throughout the state, both from private sector and from public. Sorry to put you on the spot, Laura.
Yeah, I'm. Can you hear me? I've been having a little bit of technical trouble. Anyway, I don't have a good answer for you, but I'd be happy to see what I can find out and get back to you.
If that's helpful. Thank you. And maybe if there's other grant recipients for similar type efforts in other counties, that might be good to know.
Sure. I'd be happy to look into that.
Super. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, you're welcome.
In defense of Laura, you know, vector waste and street sweeping waste were kind of under the radar for quite a while. And then as ecology and the state, as the pressure started trickling down in terms of increasing requirements, those waste streams became much more visible and much more plentiful. And that sort of forced it to the attention of the regulators that this needed more careful attention. And it was almost 20 years ago when I was working for the Department of Ecology and we were going, well, wait a minute, you know, that's not just benign waste. I mean, that's going to have contaminants. You know, the stuff that comes off the roads is usually surprisingly nasty stuff. And so then they started, you know, recognizing as folks realized the value of street sweeping programs for dealing with stormwater contaminants and stuff like that, that started pushing increasing volumes. And so I think a lot of local jurisdictions were kind of caught off guard. I think ecology as a regulator was a bit caught off guard. So in fairness to Laura, who comes to us rather recently in this regulatory field, this is exactly right. It's a statewide issue. We're hustling to get our arms around it. So I think it's a great idea. For the planners and grant folks in ecology to look if maybe the next grant cycle ought to emphasize this stuff a little bit more. I don't know. They got a lot of priorities and we're not the only ones asking for help. So.
Yeah. And I think the thing to keep in mind with this decamp facility is that this is a benefit to water quality. Before they clean streets, before they put sumps in catch basins and vectored this stuff out, this leachate that we're talking about was going into your streams and rivers. And so now we're diverting it and we're treating it and we're discharging it more appropriately. This is a water quality benefit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just want to circle back kind of on that note with the leachate. It sounds like what we have not really clarified is if the Clark Regional Wastewater District is okay with the leachate, the backer rinse, you know, the variety. Leachate is a trigger word for a lot of people.
Right.
The deep water. The deep water, correct. But in a way, if it is sitting there with the solids, you know, decanting, then that is a leaching process. But it sounds like we are waiting for confirmation from the wastewater district that they don't have problems with receiving that potential material.
Correct.
Okay. Chad, I guess the question to you would be, has the city sampled any of this leachate or backward water, decant water previously?
Yeah, not to my knowledge, we haven't.
Okay.
We, somewhere in the past, we have sampled the solids, but not the leachate.
Okay.
And just based on some of the research and stuff I've seen, some of it does come back, you know, with high metals, and like you would think, typically make, you know, break that.
I think there's kind of an unknown there, but it may not be as a big of an unknown or concern. But I think there is an unknown, and it looks like in the plan that the solids that are being decanted and dried are tested before they are disposed of, right? But the leachate water is not. It's just put into the system. So, you know, I'm kind of looking at this and it's like, okay, well, there could be something that we're missing there, something that could be a consideration, or it may not be as big of a deal. But, when it sounds like it's, you know, there's some assumptions there on that. But then also, what if you do test it and it comes back at a quality where the wastewater district is like, well, that's too hot for us or it's going to damage, you know, the pipeline. What's plan B? So I'm trying to, like, considering all of this and these questions that I have.
Not, I think Melissa and I kind of have the same questions we just talked about the last couple of days. Is it something, how does it compare to itself? Is Clark Regional accepting downstream?
Right.
Like, yeah, how does that compare? And if we are high, what does that involve? And do we let them know, hey, you got some hot coming downstream? What does that look like? I don't know from their point of view.
Right.
Granted, we are partners in the, with the same waste permit. And they initially, you know, sampled and treated before the outfall. So I don't know what that looks like on their end. Yeah.
I think, you know, it'd be good to get that final buyout on this, but, kind of see where we go from there.
My recommendation, when SWAC makes the recommendation, would be to put a condition in the permit or in the recommendation that they modify the operations plan to include testing of the leachate until an agreement is reached with Clark Regional or something along that line.
Maybe it could be testing is required if Clark Regional Wastewater District wants it.
Well, I mean, by the time it gets to them, they may not care, or they may say so diluted at this point, but at some point, it's not going to be diluted, it's going to be concentrated. So, you know, there's a couple things going on here, and I can see trying to look at this from both sides. I mean, we may be making, a mountain out of a molehill. I don't know if something like periodic testing or benchmark testing or occasional seasonal change testing may be something that you know, would alleviate some of those concerns if there are any. But then that also could open up a can of worms. So I think it warrants further, you know, further discussion or consideration in terms of, you know, what. Really, I see that as the only unknown. I mean, all the solids will be taken care of for their disposal. The street sweepings will be taken care of, so it needs just daily cover. But then we have this other stream that we don't have, you know, much information about.
It is an unknown, and it is unfortunate that we didn't get comments sooner from Clark Regional to maybe have more of a meeting and a bit more collaborative discussion. Again, yes, it may be beyond out of a molehill. My goal is to bring potential mountains, potential molehills to your attention that you can then make recommendations based on that. Even with that as an outstanding issue, I mean, there's shutoff valves that you can put within the system, you know, so they could do a shutoff valve, test that material. If it is designated as dangerous waste, they would hire an environmental consulting firm, have them pump it out, treat it as a dangerous waste, and move on. If it comes out clean, or meets the criteria that is amicable to our regional wastewater district, and it could be discharged. I don't think it's enough to, in my opinion, so my professional opinion, that it would be enough to stop moving forward with the issuance of the permit or recommendation for issuance of permit. I think those details are easily worked out. Worst case scenario, Clark Regional never says that they agree to it, going there without knowing what it is. City of Battleground is in agreement that they will test it. We'll have to work with ecology. It a little bit falls out of the solid waste realm, and it does turn into their NPDES permit. It does turn into all of it. So it really isn't public health per se that says, sure, this can go there, or no, it can't, under the solid waste permit. But all solid waste permits have to meet the performance standards of WAC 173-350, which says thou shalt meet all codes, federal, state, and local. So they have to be in compliance with their NPDES permit. They have to be in compliance in order to be in compliance with their solid waste permit. So getting that logistically worked out to happen, I think, can still transpire concurrently and through further discussion.
When you grant a permit, Melissa, how long is it? For a lifetime or for a couple years, or what's, how long is it for?
Pretty much for the lifetime of the facility. Yeah, not really. The permits are paid annually. The permit fee is paid annually. We issue them on a 5-year cycle. We review the terms and conditions on a 5-year cycle. If they have a significant change to operation or significant modification to the facility, then it will go through the ops plan review, where Department of Ecology, Derek Rocket, my counterpart at Ecology, and I review that ops plan and provide comments and make sure it's still in compliance with WAC. If WAC is updated, you know, their permit gets updated as well to any applicable terms and conditions that are in the new WAC. So just making sure that the facilities are compliant with administrative code. But yeah, Similar to our West Van Transfer Station, every single year they aren't on the verge of closure because you know they haven't updated their operations plan that year, because you know they're one day late on giving us a permit fee. So it's very similar to our transfer station, where they operate and we work with them to remain in compliance with regulations.
So the reason I'm asking the question is, if I understand it, the city is operating a decant facility right now. And yeah, the liquid from that decant facility is currently making its way to the Salmon Creek Treatment Plant. The Salmon Creek Treatment Plant is in compliance, their discharge is in compliance with their ecology permit requirements today. So if you operate, if you give them a permit tomorrow, those quantities aren't going to change that much. And I don't know if the city of Battleground has any idea what the volume of the decant liquid is or what it will be. I would guess not, but I think the issue is likely not how much volume is going into it today, but as the volumes increase, as the city grows and more vector material is brought in there, does that then take a hit on the system? So I was wondering if there's an opportunity in the future to review that rather than dealing with it today.
I think it would really end up being a scenario where, again, yes, that material is going there today and has been for 10 years and hasn't spiked interest of Clark Regional Wastewater District to date in their sampling, and they are in compliance with their NPDES permit. That, to that, it does speak volumes that perhaps they would just be okay with the same material, same source, same everything going there, continuing forward. City of Battleground, based on the size of the sheer size of the facility, does not allow for them to have massive volumes of material. They will never, based on the facility as it and the footprint they have, they can't have 40 trucks a day dumping there. They would have to, they wouldn't be able to process that material. So I think that the volumes, even, I mean, just based on the footprint, even with the doubling the size and the new modification, I don't know that it still allows. And I've honestly been very transparent with Chad that I do have concerns about how small the facility is. It is just, I mean, you're North County, you've got Yaffle, you've got Amboy, you've got, you know, maybe Clark County, North County people want to use your facility. You know, could this have been designed bigger? It wasn't designed bigger. It is their ultimate decision whether they make it bigger or not. Again, I don't have, I can say that I recommend that it be bigger to have more capacity and maybe more users, but at the end of the day, I don't. But their current capacity, and even with the modification, doesn't really allow for a large volume like Whatley Pit, where they do have, you know, 30, 40 trucks coming a day.
Yeah. Yeah, I keep thinking about that one truck per day and thinking that they're pretty small volumes.
City of Washougal also only has one truck per day. They have one driver. He's either driving a sweeper or he's driving a decant. He's never driving both. So he's even in street sweeping season and he's decanting in decant season. So, but they are a facility that only operates one driver, one truck a day. Yeah.
Speaking of that, obviously this facility is built big enough for what you're currently using. I could, you know, ask for, you know, facts and figures and stuff like that, and I realize you're not prepared to do that, Chad. The size of facility you guys are looking at, what do you think your maximum would be compared to what you're currently creating? Could it handle 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3 times the amount of what you're currently creating today
in terms of long-term stockpiling?
Correct, yes.
We think so.
Probably double, triple?
Probably triple.
Okay.
Kind of along that line, does public health always retain the right to go in and sample anyway? Let's say sampling is not required right now. Because one of the things that's kind of swimming around is you've got a very unique community right now. And we've been talking about hazardous waste in other categories. And I wonder if the hazardous waste in Battleground is different than the hazardous waste in Washougal, just to use the different communities. And if you were, and if we were looking for a source of a problem of people with hazardous waste, like using the stormwater systems or the decant, like, would we be able to identify and isolate and analyze that? Do you reserve the right to do that regardless of the permit today?
So in your solid waste handling permit, they are not permitted to dispose of dangerous waste in their system.
But that's
so, pardon?
That's knowingly disposed of.
Right. So when their staff are out digging, sucking up water from a ditch, if it has a significant odor or sheen or discolored or something that says, whoa, looks like someone dumped gas here or dumped oil here, that has to be sucked up. That is held separately, tested, designated.
Okay.
And that's part of their, what they call hot load plan. So that those, like if they knowingly have hazardous material or potentially hazardous material in that load, the driver is to isolate that material. That is not to be dumped into that system knowingly. So if it has pungent odors or any of those things, they're to be knowledgeable of that. And that's part of their training that they do separately. That's part of their monitoring and their regulation of the system. Would anyone like to make a motion?
Let me ask a question, because on the agenda here we talked about public comments also. I can see one semi-public person sitting at around your table there, and I know I don't know some of the other folks who are on the Zoom. So do we do public comment before we make a motion or after?
Through the public notification system, we had a public comment period that was held from July 26th through August 22nd. In the public notification, it would say that it said that we do have a SWAC meeting, but that there would not be a public comment opportunity during the meeting. However, it's SWAC whether you allow that before or after your recommendation.
I just like to address the semi-public person. I don't know that we have a classification for SWAC for this, but Rich McConaughey, who's here with us today, is actually an alum of the system. He's a veteran SWAC attendee and former solid waste manager for the city of Vancouver. I understand he's going to be doing some work for them, and I expect he's in a semi-official capacity in his new status with the renewed status with the city of Vancouver. But I just wanted everybody to, you know, get to reacquaint themselves with Rich, and I know I'm looking forward to having him back around.
He went back to work, Rich?
No, I'm so unemployed. And I'm not here really to comment on this proposal. I'm just more kind of observing. I've just SWAC hanger on for many years, so just enjoy seeing you guys all together. And I thought before I fade into the sunset, it would be nice to do a in-person meeting. So that's why I'm here.
You're not fading into the sunset. We're still working on that lifetime SWAC membership that we want to give you.
Maybe we'll see.
All right, so. This meeting is not going to have public comments, so then we can move forward to a motion. Does someone want to put forth a motion?
Before we do that real quick, Kim, Melissa,
yeah.
I assume because it's been operating for 10 years, we probably didn't get any public comment, but that wasn't in the presentation. Did we receive any public comments on this facility?
I did send information via Amber to SWAC. We only got three public comments, all three of which were anonymous, and the only comment was, I support approval.
Okay.
Which is rare that I can't believe it. Knock on wood. but we did receive three comments. They had no other information other than I support the project.
At the risk of derailing, can I make one more comment regarding Clark Regional? I'm looking at the email from Kristen at Clark Regional, and she says the district, as administrative lead for the Alliance and operator of the Salmon Creek Treatment Plant, is responsible for sampling and monitoring at the Salmon Creek Treatment Plant in accordance with their MPDES permit. So they're sampling all the time at their permit. And I've worked at this plant before, and I know most of the folks at Clark Regional. They are very much aware if something's coming into their system that is not part of their ordinary discharge. And they have folks that go out and track that stuff down. They're responsible for monitoring at the treatment plant in order to make sure they can process things correctly and that they're in compliance with their MPDES permit. I would be curious, how do you get them to make a decision if they don't know what's in that leachate? And, you know, what's in that leachate varies greatly from hour to hour to day to month to year. So I don't know whether, you know, how they will answer that question. And maybe that's why we haven't gotten a response back. They're trying to figure that out.
I think that you're on the right track with that. Kristen also mentioned in that email that City of Battleground runs their own independent system and they're in charge of their own independent system, and that that Clark Regional Wastewater District does not sample on their behalf. So with that being said, I really couldn't move forward without saying that public health's recommendation would be to test the leachate. Again, the material, this is unique in that this material has already been going there for 10 years, and perhaps Clark Regional will just say, over 10 years, we've never had an elevated, you know, or a violation of our NPDES permit, and you can continue to discharge. And maybe it's more of a discussion that we definitely have to have. But without something clear and definitive from Clark Regional, I can't say with good conscience to SWAC that I support zero testing of the leachate forever and ever.
Yeah. No, I appreciate what you're saying. And I think you're right. You know, if they tested something at the Salmon Creek Treatment Plant and, you know, they got something hot coming in, they're going to trace it back upstream, and they'll go all the way up to the battleground system if they need to. But, you know, I don't know if that's good enough for us to, you know, leave it, or whether we should get something better from them.
I think having City of Battleground do some baseline testing, figure out what it is or isn't, I think is definitely prudent.
Yeah, there are studies out there that kind of describe what's in a lot of that leachate, right? Even if we don't have years and years of data of battleground specific leachate, and maybe that's something Clark Regional will need to see in order to bless that.
Yeah, and there is a Western Washington Stormwater Management Plan that was updated in 2019. We used to really utilize the Appendix G and Subsection 4. For the fanciness. We used to utilize that a lot with Watley to allow them to reuse the material as subgrade fill in non-residential settings. But with the change of the WAC designation of contaminated soils to meet NACA, that really cut that option out. And so looking at the new updated, and it really, I found a reference on page 645 that I thought might be applicable to a table. So it's about an 1,100-page document. So I apologize. I do not know that document in depth. And it's a little bit outside of my scope. But in that document, there are tables from, you know, City of Everett and Snohomish County with some other numbers of material for street sweeping that have been sampled in that management plan. So certainly that information can also be shared with Clark Regional. I did also share with Clark Regional some sampling analysis that Watley had done on some Gabion material back in 2019. So I did share with her specifically that data so that she would know that my concerns for this material, and to recognize for her that my concerns are primarily the hydrocarbons and metals in this material, and for her to have a data point reference that's local of what's going into the system.
All right, SWACers, any more questions? Does anybody have an idea on how to craft a motion for this? First off, it's got, go ahead, Lisa.
The last slide that I have for the recommendation, I kind of made to help you to formulate a motion. So, the CCPH is requesting SWAC make a formal motion to approve or disapprove for County Public Health staff moving forward with issuance of City of Battleground stormwater decamp facility.
One quick question for the motion. How much testing would you want to feel comfortable? Would you want it to be, is there, or could it actually be worded that testing would be done according to the guidance that you give to the public health gives to Battleground? Would that be specific enough? Or would it need to be said that testing should be done?
I'm sorry, Michael, but if we approve this the way she's written it, there's nothing in here about testing. So then we recommend approval or disapproval or whatever we do, and then before you, let's say we recommend approval, then Melissa, you don't really issue the permit until this has been resolved with Clark Regional, even though we haven't stated that in our motion? Or do we need to have that in our motion?
Public health has to either issue or deny the permit on or before October 8th. We have to issue within 90 days of it being deemed a complete application per statute. So I cannot, either the application is denied and they have to start all the way over from ground one, or it's approved and we move forward. The motion could include, that it meets the NPDES, the sampling meets the NPDES permit with support of Department of Ecology and Public Health and Clark Regional Wastewater District. But again, this material has been going, this leachate has been going there for 10 years. I don't want to make this be a mountain. It's been going there for 10 years without problem. I don't feel that it's prudent to withhold their solid waste permit for this outstanding issue. But I also don't know that I have a recommendation for sampling because, as you mentioned, it does vary seasonally. It does vary on the material that in the volumes.
Projecting forward, where are we going to get a baseline if we don't at least get some tests in at some point in time? So when we look back as Battleground expands, this is not an issue today, but would it become an issue when you double in size? But would we have a reference point if we could modify your recommendation with the modify the motion with the inclusion of testing, proper wording of the testing of your recommendation? Does that make sense?
No. Kyle, you're still chairing the group right now, is that correct? Tim has got the chair. So
yeah, Tim's chairing this meeting.
Okay, sorry about that. I was just trying to make sure that there wasn't any confusion about, the chair's role versus the motion, because we do have somebody up there that has some as a civil engineer has some stormwater experience. I was hoping that you wouldn't feel constrained from applying that expertise to the motion.
Well, I know. So the question is, how much do you try and influence and control? I'm not in favor of a motion that requires testing. I think that's taken thing. I mean, we could pass a motion tonight that requires testing, and Melissa could get a email from Kristen at Clark Regional in the morning saying, you know what? We're familiar with that leachate material. We're not worried about it at all. And then, but SWAC has passed a motion that says they have to test. Now, Melissa, could you just say, nah, they don't have to test, even though SWAC said they did? And that's why when I was looking at the motion that Melissa crafted, it doesn't say anything about testing, but Melissa still can hold off on the permit if we approve it without any testing criteria. Melissa, can you still address any issues that Clark Regional may raise tomorrow, if they do, tomorrow or the next day or whatever? I mean, we just have to say, yeah, we bless it. And then if Clark Regional comes in and says, well, we'd like some testing done first, that can still happen, even though it wasn't part of our motion, correct?
Correct. So I, without further clarification from Clark Regional, I will have City of Battleground test the leachate. I have already communicated that with City of Battleground. They're aware of that. We may, you know, talked about feasibility and can that happen. And
so then I don't want to pass a motion that may tie somebody's hands in the future. You know, let them work that process out themselves.
Yeah, should Clark Regional say, don't worry about it, let's open the gates and let it come?
Yeah.
Great. Open the gates and let it come. I'm okay with that. If Clark Regional wants to buy, you know, if they don't need it tested, I'm fine for it not to be tested. They are the ones, again, this is falls into the realm of Ecology's Clean Water and their NPDES permit and outside of my solid waste realm. So it's up to City of Battleground to make sure that they are in compliance with their discharge permit that goes to the waste stream. Then right. For them, compliance with Clark Regional so that the system is in compliance. But it falls outside of my solid waste realm. But if they're in violation of that NPDES, then they're also in violation of their solid waste handling permit. Does that make sense?
It does. And so SWAC members, we can pass a motion that has some conditions on it, or we can pass a motion that does not and leave these qualified people to work that out on their own.
Correct.
Can I say something just speaking to anybody's decision making, but as a city, I think we're fine building a baseline, you know, just for the practice and the operations for surrounding communities as well. So, you know, building a year or 2 years of a baseline, hey, it is what it is. We're just building everybody's knowledge for the opportunity.
So. Yeah, and Ecology is watching leachate and leachate content. Yeah.
If the Warren County comes back and says, we got a problem, Battleground, you can say, hey, we've got our baseline here, we've got our testing, they'll move on. So there's an element of protection as well for that. And you know, and I think this is making sense to me.
Yeah, if we could just figure out a frequency for that, whether it's once a month or once every 10 loads or once a season or whatever it is, whatever the standard, you know, I don't know what folks have done in the past, but probably something similar. We've
heard of the science on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, honestly, I would probably need to look more into what City of Washougal is doing because their systems are so similar. And their build out of their modification is very similar to how Washougal processes theirs. And see what they're seeing out of their system and what kind of volumes they're getting. They also only have one truck per day. They're not running their decant truck every single day. It is more seasonal. And so finding out what that seasonality looks like, what their volumes look like.
And keep in mind, you know, that these, even if this leachate is being tested at Battleground, but in terms of impact, it doesn't have any impact until and or unless it reaches the Columbia River 14 miles away. So it goes through Battleground's pipeline. Battleground's pipeline comes together with Clark Regional's pipeline. And, you know, half of Clark County's waste goes to it. It goes to a treatment plant. It gets treated to Ecology standards and then discharged into the Columbia River where it's diluted even more. So, you know, we can see the concentrations of this hazardous material at the City of Battleground, but there's no concern until the discharge from the Clark Regional's treatment plant. So. With that, does anybody want to put forth a motion? If not, what are the questions and concerns holding you back? Do you want to see what Melissa crafted again?
We see the verbiage of that prior.
Yeah, slide. Take a look at her slide.
Yeah, it worked.
Thank you. Somebody, anybody?
I'd make a motion that the Clark County SLAC approve the Clark County Public Health staff moving forward with issuance of the City of Battleground's stormwater decay facility application.
Can I get someone to second that motion?
I'll second the motion.
All right. All in favor, let's do a hands up, Amber, so you can count, eh? Hands up for approval of the motion.
Do we have a forum?
Yes.
We have five. Simone is not on camera, so I do not see one way or another, but we at least have a forum.
Okay. And is there any no's? That motion is approved, Melissa.
All right, thank you. Majority of the forum. Thank you, Clark, for your questions and concerns.
Thanks for all your work, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
All right, George is going to talk for about 2.5 minutes now on a couple of topics. George, take it away.
So, I'm still getting my arms around things here, but I promised you all that we would try to get back on track with both our regional systems plan effort and the comp plan. And when I spoke with Kyle and Lee a while back, or Tim a while back, talked about the scheduling issues. And I indicated that I expected that we would very likely need to go to monthly meetings. They wanted to make sure that we had a significant agenda to carry that through. So Pete's going to talk a little bit about where we are with the comp plan and what we expect we would be bringing to you on pretty much a monthly basis. The schedule is not completely set in stone, but it definitely will, I think, substantiate the need to up the pace and the effort on things. We are still nailing down the details of the schedule, and expect that we'll be asking for a meeting with the Department of Ecology to go out and go over our plans, because this is all for us tied to grant funding, and we don't want to have to let any of that money go back to be redistributed around the state. We're also working on a number of initiatives related to the regional system planning stuff, and SWAC has already seen elements of those chapters for the regional systems plan and for the comp plan. And honestly, I'm still sorting out, what you've seen, what you haven't seen, what needs to come back to you for approval, and what's probably okay, to sit on the bookshelf until we're ready to move everything forward. One of the important byproducts of the regional systems plan is the work that we're doing with Waste Connections to extend our deal out for 10 years with the possibility of a 5-year extension in order to take advantage of the investment that the citizens of Clark County have put in the system. And so we have done the survey work to have a good solid understanding of the condition of our hard assets, and we're working through the alternatives that we will pursue through a capital improvement plan. The intention is to wrap up an operations and maintenance deal with Waste Connections by the end of this year, and that allows us to begin to divert revenue from the operations into a fund to support the capital improvements coming down. I think it's the important thing to emphasize right now is that these facilities are now paid for. So there's no debt obligation on them. So the likelihood that we will be able to do, add a new facility and do the improvements necessary to prepare us, for, you know, the next 20 to 50 years, you know, that looks pretty good. Absent, you know, setting aside, inflation adjustments, we're not going to need additional outside funding to support the recapitalization of the facilities and the improvements. And we'll be bringing you more details about that and building those into a schedule in the near future. But I'm going to turn it over now to Pete, and he'll talk to you specifically about what's coming forward with the comp plan.
Greetings. I learned a lot about decant. I pretty much only knew how to decant wine. Now I'm an expert on that. Yes, it's great to see all of your faces. And we also have Laura Busby with Ecology, who's our grant officer, who's also helping shepherd our comp plan through. And appreciate George and your leadership and guidance, reinvigorating a lot of different initiatives that we've got going on, our system and the study that Mike Davis has been working on with J.R. Miller. That's definitely a huge component that has delayed a little bit of our solid waste management plan on the operations side. So let me get right into it. I know it's late in the night, so I'm going to share my screen, and I want to thank Amber, because I'm going to go with your slide, Amber. Good work. So let me know if folks can see this. That's showing up. Small, but hopefully that's good for the live folks. This is just kind of a snapshot. Really, our intent is to get a preliminary plan to Ecology by the end of June, which is when our grant cycle, our current grant cycle ends. And where we're at right now, some of this is working with George, so I hope this isn't a surprise for folks. We're looking at some additional SWAC meetings. I know you guys have been going quarterly, but we're in this kind of ramp-up mode, and there's been discussion about a second meeting this month and then going monthly. And so this just lays out how that could look. I am certainly just trying to fit in the pieces. So SWAC and George and all will need to make sure that these times and dates work. Our goal here for later September is to bring forward our chapters on food waste and construction demolition. It's a kind of a quick turnaround here, so hopefully we will have all of our components of the chapter for review. If not, we will be bringing you what we've got. And October, which is also an added on meeting, George alluded to some of these negotiations that are underway, and ownership and different ways that could look for our transfer stations and for the county and our cities. So that is looking at the regional solid waste system ownership and some of the options that have been on the table. November, we will have our education outreach with Sarah. Part of that, which is a requirement from Ecology, is to make sure that we're looking at contamination that's getting in our blue recycle carts. And that's called the CROP, which stands for Contamination Outreach Reduction Plan. And so you might hear that bantied around as well. Then we start to get into our operations. Really, this is going to be led by J.R. Miller. It's a continuation of our regional system study work that they've been doing. So we'll be looking at our needs and opportunities with our transfer station system. And that involves collection, processing, our transfer stations and disposal. So the whole system, again, it's a $50 million a year system that we have right here in Clark County, serving 500,000 people, 500,000 people, currently with three transfer stations. We've identified a lot of needs in our phase one report, and that is continuing on with the phase two study as well. So one of our key legal requirements through our solid waste plan update is to make sure our facilities are in good condition to handle the waste for the next 5 years, really the next 20 years. And so all that work is underway, and it just will be formalized through our comp plan, which is the Comprehensive Solid Waste Management Plan. And then January, which hopefully will be a new year, and we all have our resolutions. My resolution will be to get this plan adopted. We'll be looking at administration, and that is really where we're going to lay out what the ownership is going to look like and how we're going to get that job done. We're also going to be looking at recommendations from that, and then enforcement. So we do have an element there. I'll be following up with Melissa and Environmental Public Health just to make sure we've got that squared away. A lot of this is already in our existing plan, so we'll just be brushing that off and updating. February is really where we start to look at some of the evaluation of alternatives around our operation regional transfer station system. I've not been involved in these discussions, just kind of working with the consultant to make sure that we're coordinated and that we're meeting our timelines. Some of the things that I've heard in passing, you know, are we going to have a fourth transfer station? What will happen with West Van and our materials recovery facility? Of course, the ownership issue. So all of those things will need to be laid out and brought to SWAC. Some pretty big decisions, you know, to the tune of maybe $20 million, $30 million of investment. Then we get into March. We gave ourselves some breathing room. We're definitely going to be bringing back chapters as well. There'll be revisions, things like that. That's what I anticipate there. And then April 6th is really a big bellwether day for us, and I am hopeful that our consultant working with our staff will be able to finalize this phase two study from our regional solid waste system, which really lays the path forward for how our system's going to look and feel and operate for the next 5-20 years. Once we have that in place and that plan complete, we can finish our final chapter work, which is our funding and finance, how we're going to get that all done, and then what those actual operation recommendations will be. So we've got some real heavy hitter work here in April and May. So it's a pretty tight timeline. Again, as George mentioned, we've really got a lot of things that have all been hitting at once with the growth of our county, some change in management, and just the way that our ownership and our contracts are timing. So we're doing our best, and I'm confident. So we'll call that good. And if there are any questions, or George, if you've got any pieces to add, or any SWAC members.
I would make one other observation, and that is it's our intention to come back and ask for SWAC's blessing on the agreement that we're working on with Waste Connections. Not all of the details around some of the capital planning decisions will be done by then, but we'll have the framework for that and be setting them up to basically drive the capital improvement program for us, and there's a lot of different ways that can handle. We'll be nailing that down. So somewhere in here, we hope to get that agreement in front of you before it goes to the Board of County Councilors.
Couple of things. Pete, you know, we see you 2-3 times a year or whatever. Keep in mind that we have a couple of brand new SWAC members who have not seen any of the stuff that we've been in fits and starts dealing with for 2 years now or 3 years. How long ago was J.R. Mill? You know, it's been a long time anyway. So keep that in mind. I like the way you laid that out, Pete. What would also be helpful for me would be to put it in a context of how this is going to fit together in this manual that you're putting together. Chapter one is such, that one is done, or it's coming when. Chapter two is such, just to see how the whole document flows and how that looks in that context. Because I don't know, when I look at that thing, are we doing chapter three, then four, then six, then two, then nine, or how we're doing these, how these pieces are coming together.
Okay.
And SWAC members, just, you know, we need some comment. Obviously, we've gone from 4 meetings a year to 20 meetings a year, so we need to gauge people's ability to do that. Comments, questions, concerns? Does that schedule of meetings look doable? Do we need to show that again and take a better look at it?
I would say for me, it seems doable. I'm not expecting everyone to be able to attend all of those meetings. You know, we're not asking for 100% attendance, but the best you can do, you know, in terms of making these meetings, because obviously this is, you know, this is the plan that'll be driving us forward for, you know, 5 to 20 years, like Pete said. So this is some pretty important stuff. And I know it's a tight timeline for everybody, but it's stuff we really need to get going on, like we were saying with that grant, in order to make our deadlines. So.
Yeah. And will materials be provided to us before the meetings, or will materials be given to us at the meetings with a presentation, and then we have 2 weeks to review, or how is all that going to work?
Yeah, that's typically how we have done it, with the exception of possibly the September added on meeting, just because it's coming down a little fast. But the intent will be, when the materials go out from Amber, for your meeting announcement with the agenda, that you'll have those attached documents that we'll be reviewing.
You know, we can also take a look at doing some work sessions, to help the new members get on board, and we can also look to organize those so that existing members or veterans, you know, we can make that kind of available for them too if they want to do a little catch up. So we wouldn't need, you know, a quorum of the SWAC or anything like that. We can figure out a schedule and bring it back and have some special catch-up sessions for folks, and maybe, you know, every couple of months, something like that. So we'll put our heads together on that. A point well taken about the turnover and in the SWAC and the need to help everybody get up to speed.
Hey, Amber, did our new members get a copy of the current regional wastewater or solid waste plan? I know I got one when I joined. If everybody's got, at least got what the existing one looks like, because that's helpful.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Just real quickly, there was a comment made about the work being done past 2-3 years. That's our phase one of the regional solid waste system steering, regional solid waste system. And that's really just looking at our existing conditions and then some of the traffic concerns. And so it would be good, definitely, to have a refresher for new members that have missed that.
Yeah, one question. Is there one point in this sequence of review and development of the new plan where Waste Connections comes forward and says, this is what we think we've done for you, and this is what we want to do for you, and describe what it is they're going to do?
Well,
I mean, right now they report that they capture for recycling 72% of the material that is delivered for recycling. And what they're going to do in the future is that if we use that as a baseline, are they going to present something to us that says we are going to do X, Y, and Z, and so we are now going to capture 87% of the material to be reused and recycled?
So mostly right now we're talking about capital assets, and what we're going to be able to do with them. Not all of those decisions about expectations about throughputs through those different capital assets will be made by the time we're going forward. The first agreement that we're going to have to get to is, hey, we all agree on terms for Waste Connections to be our primary manager, system manager, for, or operations manager is better phrasing, for, you know, the next 10 years with the possibility of a 5-year extension. And then we don't expect to have all the details about, we had like for Lower River Road, we have 3 different major design choices there. For CTR, we have several, including just tear it all down and start over again. We haven't made commitments to any of those kinds of decisions. So it'd be difficult for Waste Connections to really project much of what they're gonna do there. We're also gonna have discussions about siting and building a MRF, and I think that's the time frame where we'll be getting into some of the things that you're really particularly interested in, Mike, but that's not, you know, that'll be coming down the road. And we'll have opportunities to come back in that. I think that I like the idea of having both Waste Connections and probably Tidewater Barge Lines come in and do a presentation and update you on their corporate goals and intentions. Both these companies, Clark County was the beachhead for Waste Connections in Washington State. They've been a good partner, and they're, you know, I've really enjoyed watching their acquisition strategies, and I feel very good about all the companies I've seen them acquire over the year in Washington State, at least where I've been watching. And Tidewater Barge Lines has a partnership and a loyalty to this county that goes back decades and decades. And I'd like to have them have an opportunity to come in and give you an update on their system. Where that'll fall in the schedule is yet to be seen. Derek, you'd come talk to these folks, wouldn't you? Did you slip away?
He did.
He got away.
All right, we're coming right up on 8:00. Anybody else have questions, concerns, thoughts? We're going to be moving forward with this schedule then, huh? And we've sent out meeting invites already, right, Amber? For these meetings?
For the monthly ones, I had not yet sent an invite for the September 22nd because I was kind of waiting to make sure that it was going to go through.
Right,
so
great.
And it was in the next day or two.
Yeah. I haven't heard any concerns. Sounds like everybody's on board. All right. Anything else, George, you guys need to address, Pete, before we wrap this up?
Pleasure, sir.
All right, last thing on the agenda, public comment. I don't see any – oh, wait, I do see one public person. Rich, give us a comment. How's retirement life?
It's very highly underrated. I should have done years ago.
I'm with you there, man. I'm with you there. All right, I need a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Moved.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you guys for supporting Melissa. And,
Thanks
so much.
Bye.
Good job.